D. Mace Vingandonic, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Mingan joined on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, by the one and only Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Tim, the Titans made the decision over the weekend to cancel their private workout with Shedeur Sanders, which was scheduled for this week. And the consensus is that this all but assures that Cam Ward is going to be the number one overall pick to the Titans. Should I leave a little wiggle room for Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi to be some sort of mad scientists, evil geniuses, that they are playing 4D chess when everybody else is playing checkers to drum up interest for this number one pick? Or is it cut and dry, Cam Ward to Tennessee in 2.5 weeks?
I think it's cut and dry because, I think it's one thing to just look at, just like the recent actions. But I also think if you go back and look at just like what the team has done through the entire process, like not being involved in, veteran, quarterbacks that were hitting the market, the emphasis on the offensive line. Like, I just think when you look at all of the data points combined, it just really points to the fact that, look, they were probably going to go with a young quarterback, meaning, draft him one high. And then in that process, I think there's been a clear distinction, and probably a consensus around the league of who the top quarterback is. And once you're picking one overall, it's pretty clear what the decision ends up being.
I find this to be interesting, Tim. I'm looking at betting odds for the NFL draft, and of course you take those with a grain of salt. But the betting favorite to draft Shedeur Sanders right now is the New Orleans Saints, who have the ninth overall pick in the NFL draft. Could you see Shedeur Sanders falling that far? And what would have to transpire above that in order to make that happen?
Well, I think you could easily see him falling that far. I also think that it's realistic to see him fall to 12 or maybe even beyond that. And look, I'm saying this and I'm not saying it. I think I've used the comparison with you guys before of like my comp was Andy Dalton. And, I say that, I think Andy Dalton's going into year like 17 or 18. He's had an amazing career. So I think sometimes it kind of, depending on how you view Andy Dalton, how I view Andy Dalton is a guy that took a team to the playoffs, for 4 years, who has had a remarkable career, like short list of quarterbacks that have thrown 250 touchdowns in their careers. But I don't think anybody would really ever say that if you could redraft, Andy Dalton would have been a top 12 pick. So, could I see it happening? Yeah, I could. What would have to happen? Look, I think teams would have to view him physically as somebody that is a good player, is a good prospect, but not necessarily have an elite traits that you would use, at the very top of the draft. And then, the other things that would happen, the Browns, go with a edge rusher, the Giants go with Travis Hunter. And then you get into that, that area of the draft where, you have teams that aren't looking for quarterbacks. And so I think it's very possible that there's a pretty significant slide from some of the early projections.
We're talking to Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Tim, I was watching ESPN yesterday, and I believe one of the discussions that was coming out of Shedeur Sanders' pro day was his habit of padding the ball. Now, I need you as the ex-quarterback to explain this to me. Will it help or hurt Shedeur Sanders in the NFL? And what is the issue that people have with padding the football?
Yeah, people's issue with padding the football is it's an indicator that the ball is going to be thrown, right? So if, people talk about, Dan Marino had this super quick release, like from the time that his left hand separated from the football to when the ball left his hand was so quick. And so a lot of times when guys pat the football, that's a signal to defensive backs of, okay, quarterback's going to throw the football, I'm going to start breaking on it. Now, what I would say is there have been a lot of successful quarterbacks that have padded the football. Tom Brady would be one of them. Now, I do think that the ability to pat the football and not pat the football at the same time is actually an advantage for quarterbacks. So, you know, I saw some of the indications about, or the comments about it. I don't know. I would not describe the discussion as like being detailed enough about what it was. Like, Brady's a great example of somebody that patted the football, and at times he would use the pat to his advantage. He would pat the football, separate his left hand from the football, knowing full well like he wasn't going there with the football to move the defense. So that's why I think really the answer isn't, hey, do you pat the football or do you not pat the football? It's, do you have the ability to do both? So I don't think in a pro day environment, a guy patting the football really is even worth discussing.
I think it's just when you can't find something, you make up something. Because during the season, he was doing the same exact things, but those things were not talked about. Even at the end of the season, no one brought up the fact that, you know, him patting the ball would be a disadvantage for him at the next level. I think it gets to a point where it's almost, dang it, I need to find something negative, or I need something negative to come out of this this workout, because everything that I've seen and everything that he said has been pointing toward positive.
Yeah, I think that I guarantee you go, I mean, I haven't done this with other pro days, but I guarantee you go back and look at Drake May's pro day and see him pat the football. You know, I guarantee you could see, you know, Lamar Jackson pat the football, or, you know, various other quarterbacks. It's a very common thing. You know, not everyone does it all the time. Not everyone does it on every throw. Like, I think it's almost, I don't know. Like, I'm shocked that it's become such a talking point, especially when you're talking about T-shirt and shorts.
Exactly.
Look, I think the bigger issue is, like, it's like if a receiver were to run a 4.7, and you go, like, oh, my gosh, like, we thought this guy was this amazing prospect. Look at what he did in college. But, man, that's his 40 time, or, you know, that's what he jumped. And, you know, does he have the elite physical traits that you typically want to see in a receiver that's taken this high in the draft? Like those to me are legitimate things. And when it comes up with Trigger Sanders, like, I think it matters. Like, I think I said this to you guys. Like, okay, like, why is Jackson Dart getting some of the love that he's getting now? You know, when it's not like he was some like mysterious prospect, but it's because like the physical tools in terms of, you know, how fast he is, kind of how twitchy he is, how big he is, like what the ball looks like coming out of his hand in terms of how hard he can throw the football, like all those things, like those things align more with a guy that ends up being a first round draft pick. Like they do. And so, like, you know, that's why I think that's the difference.
We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the Ainsworth Tigers. Now, Tim, what do you think is more likely to happen? That we get more than 2 to 3 quarterbacks drafted in the first round, or that we get only one drafted in the first round?
I definitely think there'll be more than one. And I just say that because I do think, like, you know, just say Cam, you know, goes one. When you get into like that, let's just say, and everybody slipped, and so now you get into the 20s. Like the idea of having a fifth-year option on a quarterback, to me, is way too enticing, especially if you're a team that's picking later. Like, I make this up, like, where the Rams at 21 or something like that. You know, like the Rams are at 21, maybe they move a little bit or whatever it is, and they say, like, all right, well, now, like, Matthew Stafford's going to be our starter, but, like, at least we get this guy in the system. He's around Stafford. Stafford's toying around, like, how much longer he's going to play or not, or whatever the situation may be. Like, our clock on evaluating this quarterback is still okay. Like, that's the beauty of, you know, from a team's perspective, of having that fifth-year option, you know, on the contract for every first-round draft pick. It's really the Lamar Jackson situation in Baltimore. Like, that was really the brilliance of probably was Ozzie Newsome at the time. I think that was his last draft.
Yep.
The brilliance of Ozzie to say, like, let's move back in. Let's take this guy that people are talking about maybe as a receiver. Let's have the fifth-year option on him in case he's a little bit more developmental than we think that he is. And, you know, he was right.
Can you see teams starting to sort of trend that way of drafting, you know, say like a Jalen Milroe, drafting a Jalen Milroe late in the first round, knowing that we don't need him to be anywhere near the starting, you know, position for at least the next two to three years.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then on that third year, you hope that he's developed enough where he can now be your starting quarterback.
Yeah, and I think that that's the, you know, it was the term for it. Like, those were luxury picks, right? Like, basically anything after pick 22, you know, they were kind of viewed as hey, like, that's the luxury pick. Remember when Tim Tebow was coming out? Because I think that, you know, I think in theory some teams have kind of already bought into it. When Tebow was coming out, it was like, well, he's that luxury pick. Like, what are we talking about, you know, in terms of – you know, taking a quarterback at this spot that is clearly a developmental prospect. And really, like, if you were to look at it, like, we've talked about, you know, some of the time on task issues that some of these quarterbacks have had coming out. So, like, take Anthony Richardson, who was, what, pick three, who had 393 attempts coming out of college. Like, he really probably should have been a luxury pick guy. A guy that, like, you didn't have to play his rookie year. Like, a guy that you could be like, all right, look, you're going to redshirt, man. Like, that's what you're going to do. And then year two, like, we're going to start to get this thing rolling. You're probably a little bit better off. And, like, I think that's the case with quarterback. I think that's the case, like, in a lot of professions. Like sometimes you just get, like, thrown to the wolves, like, in the big leagues. Like, it's okay, to have to work your way up through the minors sometimes. Like, I do think that that's more beneficial, you know, to certain guys based on their experience, you know, rather than thinking, okay, look, you're expecting to be the guy right away, even though, like, you haven't played a ton of football at the collegiate level. We're going to draft you to the top, you know, 10 pick, and we expect you to save this organization.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, joining us on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, as he does every Tuesday. Tim, great stuff as always. We'll talk next week.
Sounds good too, fellas.
Yep.
Tim Hasselbeck joining us on the program. 615-737-1025. Your thoughts on what Tim Hasselbeck had to say. We will react as well. On the other side, 615-737-1025. Speaking of 1025, the game and Green River Whiskey have teamed up to give away tickets to see Lainey Wilson at Bridgestone Arena in the all-inclusive Eurostone Club on Thursday, October 2nd. Tune in to Chase and Big Joe tomorrow morning during the 9 a.m. hour for the keyword to text in for your chance to win tickets. Green River Whiskey. Sit back, relax, and bourbon. Green River Distilling Company, Owensboro, Kentucky. Alcohol/volume varies by product. Please drink responsibly.